All right, well, this morning we had two very amazing stories. And I'm wondering how much you really were expecting of something to happen today when you came here. If you're like me, I got up this morning and I grunted as I sat on the side of the bed, grunted quietly. I didn't want to wake up my wife. And then I kind of bumbled my way into the bathroom and brushed my teeth and shaved and showered and slowly got dressed thinking, okay, I guess I have to go in today. Went and got something to, you know, to sustain myself as far as eating something, and then got in the car, opened the garage door and said, oh, good grief. And I just kind of was in a daze the whole way as I drove through the snow-covered, our little community. The snow hadn't even plowed out of the roads yet. And then on the other secondary roads, they weren't really plowed either, so I'm kind of making my way, finally get on to the Northland, and it's plowed a little bit, but you can't see well. And I'm thinking the whole time, okay, how long is it going to take me to go? I got started late. I'm thinking I'm going to be here probably just about 8:30 if I'm lucky. Should I call Pastor Marcy, tell her to start without me? So I'm thinking about all these things, not really anticipating what's going to happen this morning as we gather together to worship. My thought is you probably had similar thoughts as well and went through similar routines and you all found your way here. Lori, I'm surprised you're back from Florida. Should have stayed down there for another week. And you're probably thinking that as well. But you know what? There are things that are happening here. And if we look around and if we see them, we will be amazed. But the problem is that we've kind of gotten so used to coming together and we sing songs and we read verses and we hear a sermon and we take communion and then we go home. And we get ourselves into this routine of this is what is expected. But you know what? There are extraordinary things that happen each and every Sunday. But you know, they'll just scoot right by you if you don't watch. Peter, James, and John are going up the mountain with Jesus, presumably to pray, to be set apart from the crowds that had been gathering around Jesus, clamoring for him to heal them, and they were waiting for some words of wisdom for Jesus to speak, and he needed a break too. And so they go and they trudge their way up the hill, and I'm sure they're thinking, you know, well, we'll go up there and Jesus will take time to pray and we'll be there with him and we'll pray too and we'll just relax for a little while. Imagine their surprise when everything that happened. You know, they get up to the top and what goes on. First, they see Jesus' appearance changes. And the gospel writers don't know any other way other than to say it's whiter than any white possibly as we try to bleach our clothes. And then the next thing they see, Elijah and Moses, two great prophets who were well before the time of Jesus. Elijah, the one that we just heard from in the Old Testament, who was taken up by a fiery chariot into heaven as Elisha looked up and watched him disappear. That Elijah, he's the one who's the predecessor to the Messiah coming. He's the one that's supposed to come back and announce that the Messiah will be here. So there he is, he's right there. And next to him is Moses, the great giver of the law, the one who brought people out of slavery into the promised land. And as if that wasn't enough, suddenly they become enveloped into this great cloud where they can't see a thing but only hear this voice. And for most of us, we probably have this vision of kind of like the Ten Commandments with God's voice being very deep and manly. This is my son, listen to him. And I want to suggest that maybe it was just simply, this is my son, listen to him. And you know what Peter does? Peter's like everybody that, in normal life. People that go to Disney World, I was sharing this earlier, Jim Gaffigan has this little routine in comedy about, you know, what it's like to go to Disney World with five kids. And he's saying, you look around and everybody's taking pictures. They're taking pictures. Oh, look, a cat sleeping. And they're taking pictures and not taking in the moment. I mean, this is supposed to be a family time. We're taking in this time together, and that's not happening because we're distracted. We think we need to preserve the moment that we'll forget about that we never even really enjoyed in the first place. And that's, you know, and that's Peter. Peter's already trying to figure out, what are we supposed to do here? There's all this stuff going on around us. What do we do? I know what we can do. We'll build 3 altars for Moses, Elijah, and Jesus. He wants to take a picture. Not pulling in. Not being able to register what this all means. Not being able to be in the moment. So much like us. And that's what I mean by we kind of drag ourselves in here or we come for various reasons. But are we really expecting something to happen? Are we really expecting that perhaps maybe a fiery chariot will come down and maybe lift off Pastor Marcy up into the sky? Or that Pastor Dave suddenly gets caught up in a huge cloud? Are you looking to see how life changes with all the things that you come here and expecting that are going to be the same when you leave? And I would suggest that don't be that way. Expect things to happen. Be ready. Reading one of the commentaries, it was like they were saying about being on a boat ride and being tossed around, and you know, make sure you're securely in a seat or standing firmly on the deck and having your hands in place of so that you're not going to get dropped overboard by the violent motions that are going on in life. You expect, you know, seat belts. We should have them here in our chairs. You know, well, that's really a stupid thing, Pastor Dave. You know, what are we going to do? Who knows? There could be a rush of a wind. There could be something that just catches us all by surprise. Perhaps somebody who stands up and who speaks and says something that really cuts to the heart or really, really opens our eyes, like turning on a light switch. Perhaps maybe in the word that we hear today that there's a way for us to suddenly realize, oh my goodness, this is really how we understand Jesus to be Jesus, the Son of God. I've heard this story so many times. You know, it's you just kind of, oh yeah, I know it. But are you able to take it in? Can you hear what God is saying? Can you see how God is drawing the disciples in? He's drawing you and I in to this understanding that Jesus truly is the Son of God. Any questions that you have should be set aside, and you should be filled with excitement and awe, and yes, maybe even a little bit terrified like the disciples. Today, as we gather together, you know, how many times do we hear how God loves us and we hear it over and over again and we sit and we might muster a little smile. But do you hear it? Do you hear God's life-changing message as it's given to us? Elisha, as he stands there watching Elijah go up into heaven in this fiery chariot, cries out because he's seeing his mentor, his teacher, the one whom he has been following all this time, is departing from him. And he asks for a double portion of the Spirit, and Elijah says, if you see me, you receive it. If not, you don't. And what it's about is really that he understands that it is him, Elisha, who is going to take over for Elijah as the prophet. And it says in the conclusion of the passage that he tears his clothes in a form of grief. And I also wonder if maybe also being terrified of now being in a position of leading. God has upset his world. Just as God does the same thing to you and me. And if we're not taking pictures, maybe then we can listen. Maybe we can see how God takes from our shoulders, takes from us those burdens that we carry and coming in here. Maybe we can hear from God the assurance that we are not alone in this life and that indeed we have this wonderful, awesome God who accompanies us through all the terrible things and ups and downs that we have and gets us through those moments that we think we're never going to accomplish. Maybe we find healing in mind and in body. Maybe, just maybe, we fully comprehend how much, even though I don't think I deserve it, the love that God extends to me. Maybe, just maybe, in one of these moments, through the words that are spoken, through the actions that happen, through coming to the table and receiving the bread and the wine and being a part of Jesus saying, "Here I am," that we understand this life-changing moment. It's exciting. God is rebuilding a community. God is remolding and reshaping us as individuals, bringing us together to form a community that reaches out to the world, that is not afraid, but that is bold to speak the word, that allows us to go into the dark places because his light shines so much there. Now, through this past, all these Epiphany Sundays that we have celebrated, we have asked about God sightings. And I'll start today because I want to share with you something that happened to me yesterday. I'm a part of the Synod's Candidacy Committee, and what that means is I'm a part of the process that students who are interested in becoming discerning ordination into Word and Sacrament or pursuing a Word and Service call have to work through a series of things in order for them to be ordained. And so we interview them at periods in their process, and this was basically their first meeting with us. And we had two candidates that met here yesterday, and there were four of us, so one was on, I had him on Skype, and the other one was on FaceTime, so we had two that were here by internet, and then there was another pastor and I. And the one candidate that we had was actually from South Sudan. He was one of the Lost Boys. And came in, and he was all smiles and just excited to be there. And we're sitting down, and we're talking, and he still has some needs to work on his English a little bit because it was hard to understand some things. But when we'd ask for it to repeat, he'd make it clear. And we were hearing about his journey, which was just absolutely amazing to see how he got here. But one of the stories, and it seems so simple, and yet it really caught me, and it caught the other others that were a part of the interview, was that he was working as a taxi driver from the airport. And so he was taking people all over the place. He got to know Grand Rapids really well, and he said he especially enjoyed getting out into the countryside. And he said he noticed something in taking someone home one day, and he kind of watched, and then he went on, and he dropped the person on, and he came right back the way he came, and he got out of the car at the spot that he had noticed. In fact, another car came a little bit later on and says, "Is everything okay?" And he said he saw cows out in a pasture, and he said it was a beautiful sight. Well, here's a gentleman from South Sudan, people who were herdsmen. And this was something that he saw, and that there was joy in the way in which he saw that. And for you and I, we see cows all the time. You know, it doesn't register that we consider them beautiful or see this amazing scene. But he saw it. He saw how God was in that, and it just caught him up in the moment. And he shared with us, and we spoke about it after he left, and just thought it was such a neat thing to see. We take that for granted, these simple gifts that God gives us and opportunities that we have, visions of being able to see God at work in our world. Judy, my wife, had a similar experience coming from Buffalo, and when she moved to Warren, where we lived previous to coming here, it's pretty much a small city in a very rural area. And she was all excited every time she saw a horse or a cow. She said, "A horse! A horse!" And I thought, is there something wrong with my wife? But she was a city girl, so she never saw these things. She grew up in Buffalo. I mean, yeah, sure, she got out and about and all those things, but not to the daily occasion. And she literally was excited. And one day I was just teasing her a little bit, and I said, "Hey, look!" And she popped up, and I said, "People walking." She didn't think that was funny, so. But how God presents himself in simple things like that. So I want to ask, is there any God sightings? We have one more opportunity to do this today, and anybody have a God sighting since this last week? I know you're thinking, put Pastor Dave in the sacristy. He goes to the bad pastor's closet. Anybody else? I know Pastor Marcy has something she wants to share. So I guess, Pastor Marcy, would you please? We don't need the microphone, Drew. Thanks.
Yesterday we had the Caring Evangelism workshop, and there was several points at which we shared some faith stories. And one of our members was describing what it was like, or what it is like, for her to take Holy Communion. And she said, it's like, oh boy, here comes the bread, the body of Christ. Oh, and look, there's the blood is coming too, and oh, am I fortunate. And this blood is the only thing that stands between me and death. And I just never heard it explained that way. And her joy in receiving communion was just so contagious. I really needed to hear that faith story from her. One thing we talked about quite a bit as we began yesterday is the fact that we need to evangelize each other. We need to hear those good news stories from each other. And that's where it begins. It's not just about knocking on doors or something. It's about encouraging one another in the faith and helping each other see God's love each and every day. We did learn skills for how to talk about that more freely and for more naturally, especially with non-Christians. But it's just good to hear the good news from each other. So that's all I have.
Thank you. So today, I just encourage you as we hear these amazing stories that you don't end up as what Paul says in our second reading, where he talks about those who don't believe are veiled. They can't see. They can't see God at work in the world. They can't see God for who God is, this caring, loving entity that desires for us to live as one with him. That veil is lifted from our eyes, and we are able to see his glory in ways that we never imagined. And so I want to suggest to you, each and every time you come, whether it's here or anywhere else to worship or for Bible study or for prayer gathering or just for even a simple meeting, expect to be amazed. Expect to see God at work here. And wherever you, as his child, are in your life. Amen.